Colossians 1, verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Down to verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Last time we thought together about God the Father, his role and his work in salvation. We focused on the three things in the text. The Father has qualified us. I made such a mess. I am so unworthy of God's attention or care. I was so lost. I had made such a hash of things. Why would a holy God intervene in my life? Yet, the Father took the initiative. He reached out to make us adequate, worthy, to qualify us to receive all the benefits of his salvation. He qualified us, and he delivered us from the domain of darkness. We were native citizens of this country, living in darkness, living in sin. Often we couldn't see the difference between right and wrong. We loved darkness. We were ashamed to be seen for what we really were because of the guilt inherent in our lifestyles. And we couldn't escape from this darkness. But the Father stepped in and delivered us, qualified us, delivered us, and transferred us to another kingdom from this domain of darkness, a kingdom where his beloved Son reigns as king. No more darkness. We walk in light. We can see. We are not without sin. But the blood of his Son goes on cleansing us from guilt, free from fear, free from shame, free from guilt. No more hiding because of Jesus' blood. Now, how did this deliverance, how did this transference come about? This was a major change. Something cataclysmic must have happened. What happened? What changed? Well, today's story explains it as we shift our spotlight from the work of the Father to the work of the Son, always in parallel, yet distinct in what they are. Colossians 1:14, his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, first question is, what is redemption? What is redemption? Redemption is deliverance or liberation from bondage or imprisonment by the payment of a price. Release by the payment of a ransom. Originally, the word meant buying back a slave or a captive. That is, making that captive, that slave, free by the payment of a ransom. So a sum of money is given to the slave owner. The slave is no longer that slave owner's property. The slave is now free. We understand something of the concept of bondage and slavery. Israel, slaves in Egypt, we read about that in our scripture reading this morning. Africans, slaves in America, are prisoners of war. Louis Zamperini and Unbroken. Well, let's take the Israelites in Egypt. They were slaves to Egyptians. We read that the Egyptians afflicted them with heavy burdens, and they had the task of building with their bare hands, the store cities of Python and Ramses, ruthlessly making them work as slaves, Egyptians making the Israelites' lives bitter with hard service. And it got worse after Moses, God's deliverer, got involved and started that dialogue with Pharaoh, bricks without straw. Now this is an apt picture of the real facts in the spiritual realm. Slaves of sin. People scoff at Christians. You guys are so uptight. You are so restricted about the Ten Commandments and the do's and don'ts of religion. You got no freedom. It's a life of religious slavery. But who's the slave? The compulsive gambler who gambles away everything he has, no limits, incurs mountains of debt, risking all his assets because he can't stop gambling. Who's the slave? Or the alcoholic who medicates her pain, or her loneliness, or her anger, or her bitterness, or her depression with alcohol, and along the path loses friends, busts relationships, sometimes losing job and driver's license because the only way she can cope with life is with the bottle. Who's the slave? Or the drug addict, seeking to find ecstasy or escape in an artificial world instead of the real world, losing, lying, running, always back to substances. Who's the slave? Or the porn addict, unable to turn away, unable to stop, having ever greater desire for an ever diminishing pleasure, is the phrase of C.S. Lewis, and eventually doing things and going places and becoming something he never, ever thought he could do. Who's the slave? Or the person motivated by what people think of me, always having to prove myself as important, always having to prove myself as significant to myself, to my parents, to others, always having to work harder to be good enough, to be somebody, to make my mark, to live up to expectations, no peace, no freedom to fail. Who's the slave? The addict of sin. Sin promises so much satisfaction. It leaves you empty, leaves you broken, still ravenously thirsting for more. Jesus said that everyone who practices sin is the slave of sin. I can leave it anytime I want. Try. Everyone who practices sin is the slave of sin. Who's the slave? This is the slavery of which we speak. The cruelest service of all. The hardest life. Being used and abused by Satan as part of his great campaign against God, and then discarded in the alley. The purpose of our lives, just Satan's graffiti on the wall in his propaganda against God. That's all. Sin is the master. Sin is the slave owner. We are the slaves. And so the radical news of verse 14, in whom we have redemption, deliverance, freedom by the payment of a price. The radical news is that in Christ we have redemption, deliverance from this grueling bondage, this bitter life of service to the hard master of sin, with freedom from this captivity to sin. Where does freedom come from? Well, a person who is a slave, say, in the pre-Civil War days, might find freedom by escape from the slave owner. Some slaves near the time of the Civil War traveled the Underground Railroad. I understand there were two paths in the Underground Railroad coming through Ann Arbor on the way to Canada. But there's no escape in this slavery to sin, the spiritual master. There's no escape from the debt of sin. There's no escape from the power of sin in our lives. Our freedom from sin could only come through intervention, an intervention by redemption, delivering sin slaves from their bondage. This is what Jesus came to do. And how? How? By the payment of a price. We heard it in the call to worship. A ransom. Mark 10:45. Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. A ransom, a price for freedom. The purchase of the slave from his current owner and setting him free. This is the delivering from the domain of darkness and transferring to the kingdom of his beloved Son. At what price? The price is Jesus' life. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. You were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The only and the complete reason that we are redeemed is because Jesus the innocent suffered and died in our place, the guilty. He took our punishment. He took our guilt, completely paying the penalty for our sins. So the result is that by Jesus paying the ransom, we are set free from this slavery, released from our captivity. We are redeemed. So things have changed. I am redeemed, and my relationship to sin, my relationship to guilt, my relationship to the old habits of choosing my sin instead of obedience to God are now fundamentally altered. I've been set free from sin, Romans 6:7. We have redemption. But let's ask again, what is redemption? So first we answered it by talking about what redemption is. Now, back to the verse, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? The forgiveness of sins. Now, the core issue in redemption is sin. Not psychological guilt, not the feeling of guilt that I experience, sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly. The issue is not the feeling of guilt. The issue is real guilt. That my sins have broken God's objective law. That I have violated God's love, God's loving and holy expectations for me and his requirements of me. The issue of guilt is between me and God primarily. And only secondarily between me and other people, sinning against them, and only secondarily between me and my own psyche. The real issue of guilt is between me and God alone. Look at verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here, while forgiveness of sins is not strictly a definition of redemption, it is in apposition with it. It describes redemption. What is redemption in its most fundamental state? What propels redemption? What do I really need to know about what redemption is? It is the forgiveness of sins. This is what Jesus came to do for us. Forgiveness is the release from our sins, the pardon of our sins. Forgiveness is the expunging of the offense from memory, God's, and from conscience, ours. Isaiah 43:25, I am he, says the Lord, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. What's the metaphor? What's the picture here? Sin is written in bold print, and forgiveness takes a blotter, it takes ink, and it superimposes it upon our transgression such that all we can see is a new big ink splot. I can't read the writing. I don't know what it says. It's blotted out. It is completely illegible, unrecognizable. It is blotted out. And God says, I will not remember your sins. Now, it's not that God cannot remember your sins. I mean, he is God. But he purposes not to. He chooses not to. He says, I will not remember your sins. It is a choice that God makes from now on. This is forgiveness. This is forgiveness blotted out. And God saying, I will not remember your sins. What is forgiveness? Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Go east. When do you get there? When do you arrive at east? Well, there's a North Pole, there's a South Pole, but you never arrive at east. And for that matter, go west. And when do you get there? You don't. And as far as the east, wherever that is from the west, wherever that is, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, out on the boat in the middle of the ocean. And there your sins go. Bubbles, a couple of little wavelets, and it's gone. Down, down, down. Irretrievable to a man in a rowboat. Forgiveness, forgiveness. What does the forgiveness of sins mean? Well, what will this do? Well, it means that when your sins are gone, the devil no longer has rightful rule over us. His hold on us was rooted in our sins, but our sins are forgiven. Forgiveness means that the law no longer has anything to say to us. For my sins, the breaking of the law, are forgiven. And my conscience is but an echo of the law. And so it too is rightfully silenced. Forgiveness of sins means the wrath of God is removed. Forgiveness of sins means the condemnation of eternal judgment is no longer ours. This is what forgiveness is. This is what forgiveness does. What is redemption? The forgiveness of sins. Third question, where is redemption? Text is clear. His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You say, I really like what you say, but it seems so far away, so removed from my reality. Forgiveness of sins, freedom. I want it to be true, but it doesn't seem to be true in my world. I feel defeated. I feel guilty. I feel chained. I feel enslaved. Destined to repeat my failures, trapped in my weakness. I trudge along in the darkness, reverting to my habits of choosing the wrong thing in the moment. In my saner times, I do not want to, but in the moment. When temptation comes over me like a flood, I am swept away again. Believer in Christ, let me ask you, where are you looking? Are you looking within yourself? Well, then, that's exactly what you will find. Weakness, defeat. Look to Jesus, not inside yourself. In Him, you have redemption. In Him, you have freedom from the old captivity. In Him, you have the forgiveness of your sins. Why live? Why continue to live like a captive, a prisoner in the domain of darkness, a slave of sin and Satan? You're thinking like a slave. The old master calls, and you come. Why? He is not your master anymore. You are redeemed. This is the truth. The old coach blows his whistle, and you start doing push-ups. You don't have to. You're not on that team anymore. Monday night, the Adcocks had a disturbing experience. Their dog, Buddy, bit Micah on the face. Dozen stitches, and Buddy was given away, as you might expect. So now Buddy belongs to somebody else. But if Ella comes along and says, "Hey, Buddy," he was trained to respond to Ella's voice. He'll come. He'll do whatever tricks he did. I have no idea. He was habituated to respond to Ella's voice. But he didn't belong to Ella anymore. He doesn't live at the Adcocks anymore. He has a new master. He doesn't have to obey Ella. In fact, there's no good reason for him to. He gets Purina dog chow from somebody else. But we're like Buddy. We were trained to respond to the old master. And when he calls, there we go. You've been redeemed. He is no longer your master. You do not have to respond. When you are bored, when you are sad, when you are down, where do you go? The old places? Why? You have redemption in Christ. Go to Him when you seek relief. Have you sinned again? Now, do you feel that you have to pay? Do you feel that you therefore punish yourself? Do you feel it is more noble, more appropriate for you to feel your sins and suffer in guilt for a while before you go to God for forgiveness and restoration? No, you have been redeemed. You have been forgiven in Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You are not forgiven by your repentance. You are not forgiven by your tears. You are not forgiven by your works. You are forgiven because of Jesus. So don't go to yourself. Don't go away from God. Go to the one in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Your redemption, your forgiveness is in Christ. Last question. When? When is redemption? In whom? We have redemption. Present tense. Now, it is true that we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8:23. It is true that Jesus says that when the Son of Man comes in a cloud with power, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Luke 21:28. There is a future deliverance from sin, from its power, from its influence, even from its presence that will drench our hearts with unending joy. There is a future redemption that will certainly come to pass. But it is equally true that we now have redemption. We do not just wait for redemption. We have redemption. We now understand who we are, who Jesus is, what He has done for us in a way that is categorically different from what we once understood. We now have a heart for God, a heart for truth, a heart for righteousness, a heart for Jesus' people that once we did not have. We now have the power to say no to sin, and we do say no to sin like we never did in our past lives. Now when we sin, we grieve, we hate it, we want to be rid of it, and we come to Jesus confessing our sin, unlike a day when we loved it like the air that we breathe. The purchase price of our freedom and our release has been paid by the Son who has come to ransom us. Once a slave, now we are free. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6:12 and following. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray.